I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Father Dermot Roach from the SMA Fathers, and welcome to this hour of power. The Holy Spirit is with you on In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm solo today. Kathleen is not here in the studio, and I am calling in from New Jersey. But as always, even though she may not be here, she's always with us in spirit. And it is a beautiful fall day. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. There's not a cloud in the sky. Like the Carpenter song, not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes. Weather's perfect, and I want to praise and thank God for that, the gift of this beautiful fall day. I want to praise and thank God for the very gift of our lives, our faith, and our friendships, and in a very special way for each and every one of you who are the supporters and the listeners that make this radio apostolate a reality and a success. Because we are 100% listener supported, it is only through your generosity and the efforts made to keep this on the air so that we could teach and preach and bring God's healing and the fire of his love to all those who get the chance to tune in, whether on the radio or on the internet or somewhere in the worldwide web world that we are in. So I want to praise and thank God for you in a very special way. In saying that, I also want to thank Jen and Charlie Reed. They're actually sponsoring this hour, and they're sponsoring this hour in honor of Jen's sister, Mrs. Kyle, Martha Kyle, on her 50th birthday. Hi, Martha. I'm giving you a shout-out, and this very special day, I want to let you know that you have been also a gift in my life, especially in the last few years and the experiences with Ad Lumina Christi, and bringing us to pray together more and more. And you've been a gift to your family, a gift to the church, a gift to the apostolate. And may God continue to bless you with his abundant healing, his love, his mercy, his strength to you, to all of your family. We love you, and in a very special way, we want to say happy birthday to you. I also want to pray, let's lift our hearts in prayer for the victims of the hurricane in Helene, and today and yesterday in Hurricane Milton in Florida. Although it didn't hit as much as they said as a Category 5, it was a 3, and it ripped through the state, west to east coast, and there's been a lot of flooding. And for both states deeply affected and for those who lost their lives in the events of these tragic storms, we offer their souls up to God, asking them to be merciful and to give strength to all of the first responders who have bravely gone out there to give their all for the protection and the safety of everybody else involved, and for the efforts of the cleanup now for both Florida and South Carolina and the after events of Helene and Milton. We ask God's Holy Spirit and His touch to be upon everybody involved. So, Kathleen and myself, before I get to the gospel, I just wanted to fill you in on this. Kathleen and myself, this past weekend, we're in Cromwell, Connecticut, kind of like in the area of Hartford, in the middle of the state. So we were asked to give a day of recollection and the following day a retreat to the public to the seminarians of Holy Apostles Seminary. Holy Apostles Seminary is a very unique place. It's been there since 1953, and it is there as a smaller, not as unlike the major seminaries that we would know, but it has really been the formation and the education and the beautiful results of many priests that we know in recent times. Not that I want to name drop, but some great graduates from Holy Apostles would be Father Wayne Mediz, Father Chris Alar, Father Chad Rippinger, as well as Father Jim Blunt. And we were very excited to be there. It was a tremendous honor to share our journey and our advice and to lead in prayer the seminarians on Friday. There's 26 seminarians this year, and they come from all over the world. It was very international flavor. And I gave the perspective of a seminarian who has moved on into the priesthood, given them advice and given them help on a lot of points that they would need, especially growing into and being formed in the seminary world. And, of course, it's coming from the priest's view. And Kathleen then gave the point of view from a mother's perspective, as she said that she's the mother of 12 apostles, as we all know, with her 12 children. And she won the hearts of all who were there. And her prayers and our prayers, it was just an absolutely wonderful, wonderful weekend, full of vigor and enthusiasm and a lot of food for thought, a lot of food for thought. And it was a great way for these young men starting off their new academic year, Day of Recollection at the beginning of the month of October, and kind of just to put it into perspective and to kind of set the tone for the not only the month but the academic session, and a reminder of where they are and who they've been called to be, and the encouragement to respond to the Lord in that call. So I will just ask all of you, because you are great prayer warriors, to always remember our seminarians, who really are the babies. They're the youngins in formation to be the new soldiers for Christ in the priesthood. Pray for them, especially in these days where they're courageously making the choice to go in to the seminary. Is a fantastic gift, totally fantastic gift for the church. And in a very special way, I will ask you to pray for Holy Apostles Seminary and for their apostolate, because they're doing fantastic work, quietly, but very effectively. And if you ever want to look them up, I'm sure you can look them up on their website, Holy Apostles Seminary in Cromwell, Connecticut, and help them out in any way that they need. Okay, let's get started here. Today is Thursday, the 27th, week in ordinary time. This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, suppose one of you had a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him. And he says in reply from within,
don't bother me. The door has already been locked. And my children are already in bed, and I can't give up to give you anything. I tell you, if he doesn't get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? Or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a challenge. But this is actually broken down on many levels. So Luke's gospel repeats some parts also from Matthew's. But this is a real interesting point where Jesus again challenges us to ask, what is it that we are involved in? What is it that we are in need of? So here's a scenario. Your friend comes to the door, you have nothing to eat, and you go to your next door neighbor and says, help me out. And he says, either you do it for friendship or you do it because of persistence. Isn't that very interesting? And I'd like you to think about those two words, friendship or persistence. Jesus at this moment is tickling the consciences about how to pray. Do we come to pray to a God out of rote, out of duty, without the heart? Or are you coming to him as a friend where you could trust? 1,001 times you say, hey, listen, Lord, I'm coming to you as a friend because I trust you're going to give these things to me. I trust I'm in need of, or I trust that you'll listen to me. You know, listen to my cries, my woes, my sufferings, or listen to my joys. Listen to what happened to me. This guy had a great weekend, Lord, and you were there, for example, in the seminary. That's a friendship. The friendship is when you're meeting your best buddy. You're not afraid to share things with them. And it goes beyond there. It's not just the fact that I can share anything with this person. I'm safe with this person. But I also know that I can rely on this person. In good times and in bad, I can rely on the help, the support, the love, the presence of my friend. Those of you who are in a marriage, you know your friend is going to be your spouse. Spouses are supposed to be your best friends. You kind of, after years and years knowing one another, you kind of know how each are going to act. You kind of know even when one is, even if you're both quiet, when you're quiet, you rely on their presence. When they're not around, when one spouse is not around you, you feel their absence. And in difficult times in families, especially when there's a tragedy or there's a death or there's a sickness, one spouse relies on the other to help them out. I'm living it right now in my experience. Returning home, for example, I go home twice a week to Brooklyn. My mother and father are 58 years married.
it's like the left and the right lung, you know, pumping together and breathing together. They rely on one another, and I have seen them as they've grown into the years of being together. They really can't be without one another. That's, some call it the yin and yang, the frick and the frack, whatever you want to call it. There's a bond that's unbreakable because it's a friendship beyond just a companionship, but it's a deep bond of love that's unbreakable. And one feeds off the other. And they know no matter what goes on and whatever sicknesses that they are dealing with, you could see that they rely on one another's support, love, laughter, comments, and even just to be there, your presence. It's nice to see. It's nice to see sometimes my mom lies down a lot because she doesn't have all the energy to do stuff like she used to. And she'll just, my father sits in the chair next to her, not even on the same couch, but he sits in the chair next to her. And every once in a while, she'll put the arm out, she'll stretch the arm out, and she'll say, "John, yeah, I love you." And it's just that whole bond of that sweetness of being together. That type of friendship now I'm speaking of. Jesus calls us to a friendship where we rely on his presence. We rely on his word, his strength, his everything, his support, his love, his help. And it's there. You know that you can turn to him. You're not afraid to turn to him. And it's not always because things are tough. It's not always when things are rough. But in every aspect, I have a friend in Jesus. And that friendship is where you can come and just share. So Jesus is saying, hey, this is a moment now. If your friendship isn't going to get it, then you got to go to the persistence. So you always know if I need, there's a friend around. God is always going to provide for you. Always, always provide. It is in condition that it is in accordance with his will and for the good of our salvation. I mean, we could say, you know, we'd love to win the lotto, but if it's not good for our will or our salvation, you ain't going to win the lotto through God. So. But then Christ turns around and he says, and if it's not by your friendship, well, it will most definitely be by your persistence. And that persistence is not considered a nag. My friends, Jesus not only knows your heart and knows everything about you and me, but he's interested in you and me. He loves to hear us talk. He loves to know the news. He loves to know how we're feeling, how we're expressing, and he wants to have conversation with us. He takes great interest in us. That's the friendship. That's that love that reaches out and says, I'm here. You rely on my presence. I'm here to listen to you. Just come and talk to me. How many times do we see ourselves repeating or repeating the actions of the apostles in the garden, falling asleep when he says he can't even spend an hour with me? Jesus wants to spend time with us, and he longs to have that friendship. And he longs to give a lot. Give of his spirit, because this is what both readings today talk about, his spirit today, the things that actually last, not so much the bread that we eat or the fish that we eat, but the spirit that lasts, that's going to bring us an entirely different level of strength and salvation. But then he says, talks about persistence. He doesn't want you to ask once. He wants you to keep asking. Keep asking for those particular needs that are good for you and your salvation, good for your loved ones and your salvation. And many times we say, you know, the Lord's not answering my prayer. I don't understand why he's not answering my prayer. And it might last weeks, it might last months. For most of us, it lasts years, sometimes even decades, when we're praying for the conversion of one of our loved ones, brothers and husbands and wives and sons and daughters. And we then pray for them and those who are in the addictions and all of those sort of dark worlds that they're living in. You know, those things don't happen overnight. It's not the wave of a magic wand, but it becomes persistent. Jesus longs for us to come to him as a friend and to pray persistently, so that we can grow from it. The more we pray in trust, even though it's not going on our way, our time, our will, in trust with our best friend, we grow. We grow deeper interiorly, spiritually. We grow deeper in the spirit of the Lord. And the more we trust, the more we're at peace. The more we're at peace, the more we can accept. And the more we trust, the more God gives. God actually gives, and he actually even says this in the diary to St. Faustina. The condition of trust is important. I can only give in proportion to how much a soul trusts in my mercy. So he's asking you, be persistent. And I tell you something, the more you pray, the better you'll become. It becomes a grace, and the grace then helps us to pray better in the long run. So it's a win-win. So I go back to this scenario, and Jesus says, would you, if you're asking for something, is it done in friendship or is it done in persistence? In actual fact, it's both. And St. Luke specifically places at the very beginning of this theme, Jesus says, suppose your friend to whom he comes goes at midnight and asks this question. St. Luke deliberately puts in the dark time of the day, midnight. So we have to put that into our own perspective. There's, and I was just mentioning so many of them. In our lifetimes, our sufferings, our trials, our struggles, they're dark times. So we could see that even that midnight suits us as well. Sometimes there are those moments sometimes when we really kind of can feel despair and say, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to get through this. I can't see the dawn. I can't see the light at the end of this tunnel. It's dark right now. I need help. So if we have established a friendship, that's the first and foremost, the best thing that you and I can do is to know that the Lord who loves us will hold our hand in that darkness. And at the same time, he'll give us what we need. Not a little, but a lot. Believe that it's a lot. And then sometimes when it's really dark, and you know the dawn, they become some of the longest hours in the middle of the night, keep praying. Keep persisting. Keep pulling him. Don't let go of his hand. And that dawn will break open to a sunrise and a glorious day like we're having today as I speak to you. Just using that as a symbolic view. Because we live in the dark world and all of our problems are dark. And here's Jesus saying, in the dark, can you go to your friend and persist and say, friend, I trust that you will give. Friend, I am asking over and over and over because I know that you will give. It's either one way or the other or both. So I place that before you just to ask you all a question today. And that question is, because we all know we have our dark moments, do you see Christ as your friend who is giving and giving and giving? See, once we can establish and believe that he is the Son of the living God and that his breath truly is the Holy Spirit itself, sanctifying us, then we can proclaim that. And by proclaiming that, then we can turn around and ask with a deep, sincere heart for the requests that we need. And then persistence doesn't become so exhausting. Because when we are persistent, sometimes we can get frustrated because things aren't going our way. But the more we learn to trust him, the more we believe that he is the Savior, and he'll take care of things as they are. His way, his time. And certainly the persistence becomes an easier route and doesn't become more exhausting. Actually, it becomes more fruitful in every way, shape, and form. Jesus says, I tell you this, you know, how much more is the Father going to give than somebody who gives normal gifts to everybody? How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? And then I reiterate, because we'll soon be coming to that break. Jesus says, ask, for everyone who asks, receives. For the one who seeks, they find. And the one who knocks on the door, it'll be open. And you and I believe that, but sometimes we can be hesitant to knock because we say, oh, I'm tired, I've been asking enough. But it goes back to that level of belief. And that's why Jesus wants to reiterate here. Listen, if those who are wicked know how to give good gifts to their kids, just think, just try to fathom and imagine how much more God the Father, who knows you better than anybody knows you, who molded and shaped you, who knit you in your mother's womb cell by cell, he knows everything about you. Well, why would we turn to anyone beside him? And he says, I ask you this. How much more will he give? He has already given us life. He has breathed his spirit into us. And as he helps us to unfold, as he reveals over the course of time how much he loves, he still is willing to give more and more, provided it suits and leads us toward our eternal salvation. God is so great. God is so great. I have to laugh because if you read today's reading, the first reading to the Galatians, Paul himself, he calls the guys stupid. He says, "What are you Galatians? You're stupid. What's wrong with you?" He says, "You started off by receiving the breath of God, by receiving something divine, and within your body, the body and soul are integrated." He says, you realize that this is God's gift. It is divine. And he says, and you suddenly start going backwards by relying on material things, by relying on the worldly worries. And he says, and you're drying out. Your spirit is like drying out. And instead of saying, hey, get your acts together, he actually says, you foolish, stupid people. And why? Because Paul had such a transforming an encounter that shook him right to his core. He knew that he was touched by the divine. He could tell the difference between just doing stuff by rote and by duty, as his studies were, and being the rabbi that he was, and not having the spirit to move him within. He knew immediately the difference when Christ stood before him. Said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Why? And when he said, who are you? He said, I am Jesus, the crucified, the one you've been persecuting. And Paul shakes because he realizes that this was more than just a vision. This was his God himself. And this God himself then becomes his best friend. And when we read all of the writings from Paul, they're all a continuous persistence. I'm asking you, I'm persisting to tell you again, return to God, convert to God, over and over. He grew in love for Christ. We grow in love for Christ. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, I'll just continue leading on from this discussion.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906. Or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, we're back with the second half of The Holy Spirit Is With You. I'm Father Dermot Roach from the SMA Fathers, the African Missions, and I am here solo. Because Kathleen is not in the studio, so I gladly said, yeah, let's just move on and take the hour. So I'm not always a fan of doing the solo because I know I just love having a conversation back and forth with her because she's just magical. The whole thing just rolls great. But anyway, that's besides the point. Once again, I just want to thank Jen and Charlie Reed today for their generosity in sponsoring this program today, and once again to say happy birthday to Marta Kyle, and God's blessings on all of your work and for all of your intentions that we place here before the Lord in prayer. Also want to remind everybody, I know it's October right now, but we're moving into November, and there'll be the annual Ad Lumina Christi at Malvern Retreat House. So don't forget, if you haven't already signed up, why not? They take that opportunity to sign up. It's from the 18th through the 22nd of November, Monday through Friday. And for those of you who have experienced that Ad Lumina Christi with Kathleen McCarthy and myself, Father Dermot Roach, we talk about the Holy Spirit today. It is the actual experience and encounter with the Holy Spirit on a totally new level. I love being there. I've only missed it once, believe it or not, because I loved it so much. And I always make sure on my calendar that I can get there in order to be part of that team with Kathleen. So I understand it's pretty full now, but if you can get signed up, hey, this is the time to go. Register, and we will see you with God's help in November. Okie doke. Let's get back to this because I'm gonna finish up with this section on prayer, and then I just want to lead on into something for the month of October. For those of you who are just joining us now, we've been talking about today's gospel and readings with the actual reality. I mean, the awesome reality of how much our God really loves us. and how much he longs for us to be friends with him. And he uses this story today in the dark, in the darkness of the night. Your friend is knocking on the door and asking you for food because somebody has to stop by, okay? And the question is, if it's not by friendship, will his friend give? It'll definitely be by persistence. And that's because God's Spirit cannot be kept in the box. It keeps flowing. It wants to give. It longs to give. But he also asks us, ask and you'll receive. Ask and I'll give it to you. Seek. Seek the depths of the understanding of the Spirit. Seek the knowledge of your faith. Seek self-knowledge that will help you and I become more whole and more holy. These are the types of petitions and requests that we should be asking for. Not so much, you know, to say, hey, can I get a new car? But can you ask the Lord for favors that will help you in your holiness and help your loved ones on the journey to holiness and conversion? Ask and you'll receive. Seek. The depths of our hearts, you and I seek, most especially within our hearts, a lasting peace. And that lasting peace can only be granted and experienced when the heart is healed. And when the heart is healed, that comes from the experiences of opening up and allowing the Lord to minister to you and to me, and to allow him in the sacramental life of the church and confession, especially to heal the soul. Then we want to seek different. So that's first and foremost. And then all of the other divine mysteries that we wish to seek can only come with an open heart, a heart that's healed, a heart that longs and persistently asks to grow in the Lord. I mean, you see how this, how it rolls out here. Knock and the door will be open. Knock on the door of Christ's heart. It's there. He's waiting. And the door is never going to be closed, ever. He will never abandon us. That is a promise. We break promises all the time. He's never broken one. So if he's asking you to knock on that door, he will open it for you. But keep in mind, because of the friendship, he's also knocking on the door of your heart. And he's knocking gently all the time, saying, hey, can you let me in too? Can you not spend an hour with me? I want to tell you more about your life. I want to make your life better. I want to reveal to you what you're seeking within the mysteries of the church, of Christ. I want to answer every one of your questions. That's the beauty of how Christ works with us. And it's funny, we can all fall short of this, and that's why St. Paul says today to the Galatians, who's bewitched you? I mean, you saw with your own eyes what I proclaimed, Christ was crucified, but I ask you only one question. Did you receive the Spirit from the works of the law or from faith of what you heard? And he repeats, don't be so stupid. But he says, don't go back to the flesh. Rely on the Spirit. Our Holy Spirit can give more and more and more. And most of you who are listening, who are living in the Spirit and living to your level best in the heart of the church, you know you've been growing beautifully with him, and he wants you to grow more. It's a good, challenging time. You know, this time of the year, we're coming to the close of the liturgical calendar with Christ the King. So October and November, a lot of the readings, both at Sunday and during the week, they do become more challenging. They do stir up our hearts. And this particular one is not daunting, but it really stirs up the heart to say how much you and I are really loved. Despite all, we are really loved. I'm going to digress a little bit now, but I want to take that same basis. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and you will open the door. Just to take that basis And I'd like to put it into the whole mystery and the devotion to the Holy Rosary. Holy Mother Church in this month of October devotes and dedicates the entire month to the Rosary and to Our Lady under the title of the Queen of the Most Holy Rosary. And it's important that we don't forget this, because this prayer actually will help in our seeking, in our asking, and in our knocking. And it'll be a fast track to a lot of those queries, concerns, petitions that we have, because the Rosary is an absolutely unbelievably powerful prayer. So I'm going to once again give the history behind the Rosary. So if you have never heard this, well, this might be a fresh light for you. Over 800 years ago, in the 13th century, the mendicant movement had begun. This is the time of St. Francis of Assisi. This is the time of St. Dominic de Guzman. The Dominicans and the Franciscans were like the two major mendicant movements. So St. Dominic, they were known as the Order of Preachers. They had a different style and charism from the Franciscans. They were involved, the church at that time was involved with a terrible heresy. Now, over the years, especially during the Crusades, there were heresies of all sorts that were constantly berating the church. If you think that we have them now, you had to see what it was like back then. And this Albigensian heresy that was taking over, the Cathar heresy, as it was also known, that came from southern France, was a crusade that took years. And the belief was this, that our spirits were trapped inside bodies, and the body basically was separate from the spirit, and and most of the actions that it did was considered, you know, sinful, etc., and so on. In essence, it led to the other heresy that the Immaculate Conception could have never been that the incarnation could have never been possible. So, by saying that we're trapped inside a body, that takes away the whole beauty of the incarnation, of truly God, truly man, in ourselves being the soul being divine and a gift from God of the divine, and a body that interact together. So nobody could take care of this. Nobody could handle, refute this heresy that was growing. And it was quite violent. And over the course of 10 years, there was over 1 million people that had been slaughtered over this heresy. So it was a violent type of time. And one day, St. Dominic has this experience from the Blessed Virgin, and she came to him and said, "Dominic, do you know by which weapon the Holy Trinity wishes to break all heresies, to restore all virtues, and to reduce all vice?" Isn't it interesting? She didn't say mine. She said the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's weapon. So Padre Pio was actually quoting what the Trinity wanted from the beginning. Anyway, Dominic says, "No, my lady, only you would know this." And she says, "Dominic, preach my Psalter." So in the beginning, she didn't call it the Rosary. She called it her Psalter. And the Psalter was an important dimension to this, because during the 13th century, the average person wasn't very well educated nor literate. It was only the rich, the monks, and the priests, the convents that were able to pray the liturgy of the hours. But yet, that was called the Holy Psalter. So she's saying, "Preach my Psalter." When she teaches him the Rosary, and the Rosary was very different from what we know today, and they began to spread and promulgate this devotion, it began to break down this heresy, and it wasn't an overnight magical trick, like I said before, but it did, over the course of several years, weaken and bring the whole thing to an end. it also changed the church and have started bringing the church into a whole new dimension of holiness. Because the little people, the uneducated people, the poor people, were able to pray the liturgy of the hours in a new way through these beads. How is that possible, you ask me? Well, the liturgy of the hours is based on a four-week rotation of 150 psalms. The 150 psalms, they were written by David, and they were written kind of like 50-50-50 of the joys David had in his life with the Lord in the good times, and then through all the wars and the persecutions, the sufferings that him and his kingdom and his people went through. And of course, we know David's heart was a major component in how he shared his grief. And then the last one, the last 50, were all about the triumphs of the success with God and the triumphs over the kingdoms that had invaded them, etc. and so on. The rosary was designed by the Trinity with Our Lady to be 150 Hail Marys prayed with three major mysteries: joyful, the sorrowful, the glorious, each holding 50 Hail Marys prayed in the life of Christ and seen through the eyes of the Blessed Virgin. She was more or less allowing the people of God to consider each Hail Mary like a psalm. That's how generous God is. This is the God we're talking about here, who wants to give, ask and you will receive. So she helped with the promulgation, and the Holy Spirit moves this movement through the church. And it is probably one of the greatest prayers on the face of the earth today. And all throughout history, even when our Lord has sent Our Lady as a messenger in midnight times, dark times for people, she has encouraged them to pray the rosary. We see that very clearly in Lourdes. We see that very clearly in Fatima. We see that very clearly in the most recent Neil Altstadt given in Medjugorje. And she says, pray my rosary, because the rosary will bring healing. It will restore virtue. It'll unite families. It'll strengthen the weak. It'll obviously break heresies. And it'll bring out truths. And mysteries will be revealed. It's an awesome task. John Paul II, the great Holy Father, the great saint, was able to explain it best. And as we all know, he loved Our Lady. He loved the rosary. And anything Marian that was going to bring him closer to Christ, he was always promulgating. In Marianus Cultus, one of his encyclicals on the Virgin Mary, he explains the rosary in a very beautiful way. And he says, you know, the rosary, whether it's beads with metal or tied up with wooden beads on a cord, he says, no matter how you have it, even if it's on your finger, you know, kind of as a rosary ring, it has a body. It's physical. And we hold it in our hands, and you could be praying it while you're on the treadmill. You could pray it, while you're driving. You pray it in times of solemn prayer, and everybody has a different rhythm in how they pray it. You know, some people might be moving their hands, some people might wrap the beads up very tight, some like to let them hang, some swing their arms as they pray it, some pray the rosary faster than others, some take meditations a little bit longer. Okay, but it has a body, and that body moves. That body has a motion. That body is physical. And this is why, if you look at the Albigensianism about the spirit and the body being two separate entities, it's not. It's incarnational. And the Holy Father goes on to talk about the body being these beads and the physical side and how we prayed with the different rhythms. And then he says, but it also has a soul. And the soul are the mysteries to which we pray. The body moves with the prayers as the mind and the heart delves deep into the mysteries that are being announced and spoken of and broken open. And this marriage of the two brings out a divine power that shields us from the wiles of Satan, and really, in a very special way, opens our hearts to questions that are answered, what we seek, what we knock at the door for, what we ask for, all starts in time, in God's rhythm with Our Lady, through the rosary. It's extraordinary, and many of you know what I'm talking about. I'm just putting it on another perspective here. But it really does open hearts, and it does change hearts, and it makes things become, for you and me, a component that's life-changing. And all throughout history, most of us can attest that rhythm brings us peace, a peace that the whole church looks for, the peace that all families look for. I grew up with the rosary. Like those of you who read my book, when I tell the stories, when I'm by myself, I pray the rosary now, but I prefer praying with a group of people because I was used to family prayer. Father Patrick Peyton always used to have that model, the family that prays together stays together. And that's a very important component because it does keep the family bond together. And the family is the domestic church. So when the family is together in Christ, praying the mysteries, united in their faith, they do become a stronger unit. They do become a more evangelical unit. And they definitely become a more holy unit. So it's proof in it in itself. But it does bring the body peace, a peace that nobody else can bring. So the history behind it is very important because those 50 Hail Marys per mystery and the 150 in total becomes, for many of us who may not pray the Liturgy of the Hours in the same fashion that we religious would pray, you're also participating in the sanctification of the church, hence the sanctification of souls, hence the sanctification of your own souls. So it's really a beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit to the church and to the world. Let's just keep in mind what Paul said about the Spirit today and what Jesus talks about, how much more will our Father give when he gives to the Spirit. How much more? Well, he gives in ways that could never, never be fathomed through the power of the rosary. And all throughout history, we have seen how the rosary has changed the world. We know about Our Lady of Victories. We celebrated it October 7th. So October 7th wasn't always called Our Lady of the Rosary. It was called Our Lady of Victories for hundreds of years, for one reason only. When the Ottoman Empire was ready to take over Europe, and Europe would have been lost to Christendom, and Christianity would have been kind of sidelined and destroyed if it became an Islamic continent, there was a big worry because they were all fighting among themselves. They all decided that they were going to ruin themselves. And it was only through the rosary when the Holy Father at the time brought in all the armies together. They were all broken and they were all weak and they were all outnumbered. But he sent a memo to everybody to unceasingly pray the rosary nonstop. And we all know that at the Aegean Sea, at that great maritime battle, just before they were going to be annihilated, because it was 100-1, the Ottomans were, the Christians were outnumbered, the wind changed. And when the wind changed and the battle began, the strength of the maritime army of the Ottoman Empire was very much weakened. And in the end, they lost the battle. which in the end saved Europe, which in the end proved that there was a victory that was given by God through Our Lady. That was there that the Holy Father, at the time, I forget his name, called October 7th, where the battle was won, Our Lady of Victories. And since Fatima, when she gave herself as the title of Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, Pope Pius XII in 1952, changed the date for October 7th and changed the title to Our Lady of the Rosary. So the Rosary is a major, major component of our Christian faith, and it must be for each and every one of us. It was one of the things that Kathleen and myself emphasized deeply to the seminarians, even at Holy Apostles. You cannot live each day without praying the Rosary, because it really is a strength within us. And I'm going to close with this story that I would like to share with you regarding what I see the Rosary. In the year 2006 in Sydney, Australia, there was a family called Og, O-G-G. Jamie Og was born as a twin. He was the second to be born. The mother was told that the child went into trauma, that the heart was giving out, and by the time the child, he was the second baby born. His sister was born first. He began to panic. And when he was born dead. At least that's what the medical department said. And they did everything to help poor Jamie. And the mother and father were there in the delivery room. And everything that was happening, no matter what they did, there was no help. So the nurses placed the child on the mother's breast and said, "If you are people of prayer, now is the time." And as they prayed and sang and talked to the child, something happened. About a half hour later, when the nurses came in, the child they found nursing the mother's breast. And Mrs. Og explained that the only rhythm that the child knew in the womb was the rhythm of her own heart. And suddenly it was being severed from that, so it panicked. But when they put the child on the mother's chest, the child responded to the only rhythm he knew since his conception, the rhythm of his mom's heart. And Jamie is alive and well today, and everyone can attest of the connection between the beating heart. So I say to you, look at the Rosary as the heart of your mother, who understands your needs, who knows your stories, who prays for you and tries to help you in every way. And when you pray that Rosary, and I offer this to you now, think of Jamie Og. When you pray the Rosary, however your rhythm is with the way you pray it, unite your rhythm with the rhythm of the Immaculate Heart of Mary that beats for love of you. And allow that Rosary to be her heart, restoring the rhythm of your heart. Allow the Rosary to be the heart of the Mother of God, restoring the rhythm of your broken heart, of your wounded heart, of your restless heart, and allow her, through the Rosary, to bring you peace. And may the blessings of the Almighty and merciful God fall upon you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wish you all a great weekend. God bless you all. See you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.